Okay, it's an incredible, very special schus to be back together. And I was thinking about it on the drive here. First of all, before anything else, Paischlin b'chloy d'chsanya, I want to thank the Kala, Sarala, and her mishpacha for opening up their backyard to us. And just a few days before Yontiv, a lot is going on. A lot is going on in the world. And that they're so welcoming, and we thank you, and it should be a big schus for only Simcha and Bracha, for good Ben Jor of Simcha and Bracha for your beautiful family. Just thinking on the way here that we have to, you know, we have to be thankful that we could even do this. Such ups and downs in the world. And we think we're going in one direction, we don't even know. I found out just a few hours ago my son's yeshiva is closed down. And that's not a good thing. If you think about, literally, this yeshiva has a couple thousand talmidim that are not going to be able to go to yeshiva tomorrow. Hopefully it will only be for a few days, or we don't know. And again, Baruch Hashem, definitely on a health level, things have gotten a lot better. But at the same time, seems to be going, we thought we're going fully in the right direction. We take some steps back. Nobody knows, and we have to be thankful for every little thing. And therefore, just to give Hakaras HaTov that we could come together and feel comfortable to have a shir together in person outside. Hopefully soon enough, we'll be back together with inside and with no masks and no feeling of pressure and no needing to even deliberate to figure out what's right or wrong. Nobody even knows what's right or wrong and what we should be doing. And we're hoping to go in that direction, Bekarov. But in the meantime, we have to be thankful to where we are, at least. And that we could have shiurim together and learn and be mechazik each other as we prepare for the Heilige Yontav of Rosh Hashanah. There's 1 year in Radin when the Chafetz Chaim was already much older. He was not so well. And before Lel Slichus, so they asked the Baal Tefillah, Rav Naftali, to share a few words to give chizik. Usually the Chafetz Chaim himself would, but he was unable. Naftali got up and we say in Slichos, we know, we daven kedalim uchrashim tafaknu dolasecha. Like a poor and impoverished individual, tafaknu dolasecha, we bang at your door. And he asked why lashon of dalim to represent us at this time in our year. Why not the more generalized word that we used, aniyim? We're kaniyim. We're like poor individuals. Why dalim? What's the difference between someone who's an ani and someone who's dal? So he explained that an ani is poor, but he still has something. He's not desperate. He has some means. He might not have what his friends have. He might not have what he'd like to have. But he's making it by. He's living. He has clothing to wear. He has maybe very basic food to eat. But he's making it by. Someone who's dal, who's so lowly and impoverished, mamish has nothing. Kedalim uchrashim defaknu zasecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu coming to your door, banging on your doors, kedalim. Why is that? Do we feel like we're dalim? Do we feel dalim? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, we have so much. Baruch Hashem, we have so much. And with all the year we've been through, at the same time, we have a lot to be thankful for. So what does that mean? Why are we kedalim that we mamish have nothing? Because we have to believe and understand that every year in Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding and determining the upcoming years, Shefa and Bracha and everything that's going to be. That ends at the end of the year. And comes Rosh Hashanah, we're mamish kedalim. We again have nothing. The status quo is not necessarily going to stay this way. Every year is a brand new, whole new world, a whole new beginning. And therefore we are kedalim. We have to believe that. Now, in truth, to many of us, that can be a little disheartening. That idea sounds very morbid. I think this year that idea can be flipped into a positive. And the concept that whatever was is completely wiped out and it's a brand new beginning. You know, I know many years we walk into these days with trepidation and anxiety and what's going to be? It's Yom HaDin, I have nothing to show for it or very little to show for it or not close to what I should be showing for it. And I'm scared. Frankly, I'm scared. I think this year the attitude has to be different. Of course, we have to put in our tefillos and we have to ma'asim tovim and tshuva, and we'll talk about. But I think we have to realize and believe in this concept that we're kedalim this year, I think, in a very positive way, in the sense that if you look back at this year, even though I said and I believe it, there's so much that on an individual level we can be thankful for, hopefully. But at the same time, let's say it straight up, it was a bad year. It was a bad year. There's no two ways about it. We did celebrate certain simchas, and individually we had very beautiful things happening. And Baruch Hashem, we're all here and able to learn together and have our health and have. But like ultimately, b'derech in what we obviously deep down within everything, kol ma'adav rechma l'tav of it, and we believe that, and I believe it wholeheartedly. But on the surface, bad year. On the surface, nobody wanted what we went through this year. Nobody wanted to be in quarantine, and people are constantly in quarantine still, and all the deaths that we had, and all the sicknesses that we had, and all the loss of money that we had, and all, it was a bad year. But I think this idea that we're kedalim, it could be understood also in a positive light. I mean, it's a fresh start. Last year's over. Tavshin Pei, in the books. We're entering Tavshin Pei Aleph. We're entering a new year. And it's going to be Bez Hashem, a whole new world of simcha and of bracha, and we have to believe in that. And we have to go in besimcha and with excitement. You know, the halacha is we're supposed to get a haircut. We're supposed to, obviously, goes without saying, shower and bathe as we enter into Rosh Hashanah. These are halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah there, he says, the reason we're supposed to be doing that is not just because it's Yontav and Kavod Yontav, you think. We should walk in with a certain bitachon that it's going to be good. So we walk in looking nice. We walk in, I'm going to come in excited for the judgment. And again, and in that same Mishnah Berurah, he talks about the balance of also taking it seriously. And therefore he says, actually, by the way, he paskins the Chavetz Chaim. We just said a story about the Baal Tefillah of the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim paskins, it's interesting halacha. A lot of people don't know this. You're not supposed to wear your nicest clothing on Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to wear nice clothing because you should have bitachon, it's going to be good, and it's yontiv, but not your nicest. And a lot of times we get very new clothing for the Yom Tovim. Might be a better idea to save that for Sukkos. Wear nice clothing, but not your nicest, because if you're wearing your nicest, it's a little bit too sure of ourselves. There should be also a balance of a certain pachad, a certain moira, a certain awe, a certain understanding that there is din, there is judgment. But again, I think this year more, we have to walk in with excitement of a new year. Excitement of a new beginning. Excitement that this all can change. I think that's very important. Keep positive. I think important for us, important for our families, important for the world. In a very real way. Mir Tashem will be. But what are we diving for? Now, what's our avodah besides for being besimcha? What are we davening for? So we say it time and time again. You know, we're davening really, it's interesting, for one thing and one thing only, constantly. To be ridden b'sifrei chayim. We're davening for chayim. And we're going to start saying in our Shemoneh Esrei throughout our Shemei Tshuva, right? V'chosveinu b'sifrei chayim, l'man chalim chayim. B'sifrei chayim, bracha v'shalom, chayim, 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 chayim. We want to be in the Sefer Chaim and not the Sefer Mason. Now on the surface, on just to translate the words, you ever think about it? Like, that's it? I mean, that's important. It's pretty important to be alive. Chaim just means to be alive. Are all we davening for to be alive? Like, we were also alive this past year. It wasn't that good, as we explained. Like, that wasn't the Chaim I wanted. I was Chaim, I'm Chaim, Baruch Hashem, and I'm thankful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't mean not to be grateful, but that's it. That's Chaim. And that's really the end all, Chaim, like Sifrei Chaim. It's no, like, we don't, you ever see anywhere, brother, we're davening Sifrei Bracha, Sifrei Simcha, Sifrei Shalom? It's like Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim. Life or death. Now again, this year maybe more than any, we are a little more cognizant of the importance and to be grateful for just having Chias, just being alive. But like, that's it? Just life? Just physical life? Is that what Chaim means? Is that what we're davening for? Because it's important to understand what we're davening for. And that seems to be the recurring theme, is Chaim. So I have a brother. I have a brother, Moshe. Moshe's 34 years old. 34 years ago, this past January, he was born, and we had his bris milah. I was 6 years old at the time. But I still remember it well. At the time, I was a first grader. My youngest son's a first grader now. That's pretty crazy. I was a first grader in South Shore, Yeshiva of South Shore. And the bris took place actually in South Shore. And at that bris was a Gadol Hadar. A Gadol Hadar who lived in our community. Our community, 34 years ago, was not what it is today. You know, I don't know how many of your parents lived in this community then. Probably most of them not. 34 years ago, the Five Towns wasn't as it is today. There were, you know, a handful of shuls and a few small schools. And you had like two pizza stores, you know. So there was a Gadol Hadar who lived in the Five Towns who was the first Rav of the Young Israel Aron Sederst, where I grew up davening. His name was Rav Nachum Tzvi Kornmel. Rav Kornmel Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Avracha. Rav Kornmel, then Rabbi Teitelbaum, who became his assistant eventually, and later Rabbi Teitelbaum took over when Kornmel no longer can be the Rav when he got much older. Rav Kornmel was Mechaber Svarim. Rav Kornmel was a Gadol on the level, you know, like you've all heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. That was his chevra. He was the biggest expert in kashrus in America. When Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov sometimes had shilas in kashrus, they'd call him. I know that from his children. They'd call him. He was a goyim and the sweetest person. And this chus to know him, I used off in a becher that he gave me for my bar mitzvah. My father was super close to him. So at my brother's bris, he was there. And Rav Kornmel gave a bracha to my brother. Now, I can't say I was present when he gave the bracha, but it was on video. And I remember seeing the video, I remember like after the bris at some point. I don't know how old I was, right? 6, 7. And this is the bracha he gave. My uncle Ezra was videoing. You don't even know, like they, back then, like the video camera, like you had to hold it on your shoulder. You know, it wasn't like today, you don't even know what a video camera is anymore. We use our phones. But then we had video cameras. I mean, you see that at a chasana, so you know what it is. But like they were like these massive things that you had to, and then you had this VHS that came out of it that was like this big that you put into a VCR. You guys have heard of those things? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Anyways. So my uncle was videoing, and he asked Rav Kornmel, can you give a bracha to my brother? And he says, I want to give him a bracha that he should be zoicha to live a life of Chaim. That was the bracha he gave. And for years, I was puzzled. I remember thinking about it, never asking anyone, but just thinking, like, what does that mean? Like, I knew the word Chaim meant life, to live. So you give him bracha to live a life of living, to live? So you say, I give you bracha, you should have life. Live a life of bracha, live a life of shalom, live a life of simcha. Live a life of Chaim? What does that mean? It's just repetitive. You're not saying anything. Like, what bracha were you giving? until I was my first year in Eretz Yisrael in Kerem Biavna, and I learned and I heard this Torah from my Rebbe, Rav Blachman, and later I found it so beautifully. I didn't bring it tonight, but if you want to look it up, Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch, who has a Pirish on the Chumash, he has this idea in his Pirish in Parshas Vayigash. And in Parshas Vayigash, what we find is a big, very appropriate for today. Today there was a very big meeting of world leaders, incredible meeting. We have to be thankful for this. It's incredible as a Jew to be able to see this and witness this. These are miraculous times like no other. And the world is just missing the boat because the world hates Trump and hates Israel. But ultimately for a peace treaty to be brought together from a massive Arab country and Israel in such a beautiful way, it's incredible what's going on. In other countries, as you see and hear and follow the news, following suit. This is hopefully and possibly and potentially, I believe, you know, could be a key towards actual peace in Eretz Yisrael, because if you have enough Arab countries that say this and show this, it turns the whole tide on the whole entire picture of what Israel is. It's incredible times. It's not a small thing. And you had this morning, this afternoon, this meeting between President Trump and Netanyahu and the leader of the UAE. This is big stuff. So once upon a time you had in the Torah a big meeting of world leaders as well. Who was that? Our leader, the leader of the monotheistic Jews, Yaakov Avinu, who meets up with Paro. Paro, the leader of the Egyptians, the powerful nation in the world, the mighty Egyptians, who eventually we were slaves under, but this wasn't there yet. This is right at the beginning when Yosef HaTzadik is second in command and the Jews come down to Mitzrayim. You all know the story. And Yosef, who's very close to the king, he's the second in command, he wants to introduce his father to the king. And you have this incredible meeting of, if you think about it, this incredible meeting of world leaders. I'm just going to read you the psukim. It's in Perek, if you want to look at it, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, and the next few psukim in Parshas Vayigash. But listen closely, because you have to pick up on this text. Vayave Yosef es Yaakov aviv v'yamideu lifnei Paro. And Yosef brought Yaakov, his father, and stood him in front of Paro. Vayavarech Yaakov es Paro. And Yaakov blessed Paro. You know, Shalom Aleichem, how you doing? Peace upon you. Vayomer Paro al Yaakov, and what does Paro say back to Yaakov? Kama yimei shnei chayecha. How old are you? Interesting question. Vayomer Yaakov al Paro, Yaakov says back to Paro, yimei shnei mugurai. I've lived and sojourned shloshim amas shana, 130 years. So he's at the time 130. Ma'at v'royim, but few and bad, hayu yimei shnei chayai, where my days have been my days of life. And I haven't achieved, I haven't reached the life of my forefathers. He's had a tough life. Think about Yaakov's life. He doesn't just mean, perhaps, in years yet, which is also true, but, you know, Esav and Yosef and everything he went through in his life, which we'll get to. So that's what he answers. And then, Vayivarach Yaakov's Paro, Yaakov again blesses Paro and says, you know, thank you for having me. Vayetim Tharo, and he leaves. And on the surface, it's very, very strange. You'd assume, and we'd assume, we'd hope for this incredible meeting with some big philosophical discussion or some depth. And what do we find? It sounds like, mamish, it sounds like two old men meeting up on some park bench. And, you know, they sit down. And how you doing? How old are you? I'm 92. It's been tough. My knees, you know, they're not like they used to be. Oh yeah, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? You know, they say it's sunny, very nice. It's nice to meet you, have a great day. Like, really? That's the meeting between Yaakov and Paro? So if we look closely, when Yaakov answers back Paro, he uses two separate words, to explain life. And his years on this planet. He starts out by using a word, migurai, gart. We usually say that means to live, to sojourn. And then he also uses the word which Paro used of chayai, of chayim. Yemei shnei migurai shloshim umashana. My migurai has been 130 years. However, yemei shnei chayai were ma'at v'royim, were few and bad. As opposed to Paro, just use one word, chayai, chayecha. So my Rebbe explained, and Samson of Falarosh explained so beautifully. This discussion between Yaakov and Paro is actually the deepest of discussions of all of humanity. And it's a discussion we're still having in this day and age. You see, to Paro, life is one thing and one thing only. Physical life. How old are you? How long have you been here? What have you done? To the immoral, unethical world that we live in, it's a life of eat, drink, and be merry. Just enjoy yourself, be physical, give in to your pleasures. Whatever will be, will be. And Yaakov says back, physical life, my physical being, that's also something we have to take account for. But that's just called migurai. That's physically being here. Chayai is a whole different world. Chayai is not physical life. Chayai is meaningful, purposeful, enjoyable, spiritual, real life. And Yaakov felt, because of all that he went through, because of what he battled, in his own eyes, maybe it wasn't necessarily true because we know what Yaakov achieved, but in his own eyes, because first he has a brother who wants to kill him and he's running away from. He goes and tries to get married. He's switched his wife on him. He's working for a deceitful man for years and years and years. He runs away, has fights with his shepherd. Finally, he's living with his children and a little bit of calm and peace, and his favorite son, who he loves dearly, he thinks is killed and gone, and he mourns him for years and years and years, and now he's meeting up with Paro. And to him, my life, I've physically been here, but there's no way I've accomplished what I could have accomplished and had meaning and purpose the way I would have liked to have had. So, yimei migurai or ma'as v'shloshim, but yimei chayai ma'at v'rom have been very, very bad and not what I would like. In other words, Yaakov in these psukim is explaining to us what true chayim is. Chayim is not physical life. Chayim is a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of true simcha, a life of shleimus, a life of oneness with Hashem and oneness with each other. That's chayim. That's what chayim is. You know, you could be alive. You could be, but I'm not talking about anyone here. Baruch Hashem, we're here. None of you at this point in your life would even think about being here if this would be the case. But you know how it is sometimes? You've been in Shiurim, and you're in Shiurim with whatever it is amount of people, and some of the people, everyone's physically alive, and maybe no one's sleeping, but half the people won't even be able to tell you a word that was said, and their minds are completely somewhere else, and they're daydreaming about whatever they want to do after this year. And it was really, that whole 45 minutes, hour, whatever it was really one big waste of time. They were migurai, but were they chayai? That wasn't chiyas. That wasn't chayai. Chayai is a life of meaning and purpose and value. And that's what we're davening for. We're not just davening when we say, put me in the Sefer Chaim, because Feinu b'Sefer Chaim. We're not just davening, Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We're not just saying, I want to be alive this year. I don't even want the words come out of my mouth. I want to be alive this year. No. I want to be living this year. I want it to be an awesome year of simcha, of bracha, of oneness with you and Torah and mitzvot and my family and my friends, and just an incredible year of chayim which encompasses it all. That's what chayim is. So what's the key to getting that, now that we understand what we're davening for? You know, the key to gain that, and for Hashem to put more potential in the air and Shefa for us to be that, to live that? It's very simple. Start living it. It's up to us ultimately. Meaning, yes, it's true. Hashem makes and gives us a year that can be more or less conducive for that type of life. And can place major nisyonos on individuals and others not in the same way. And can create gedarim and fence, and everything's up to him. And what type of parnasa we're going to have, and what type of relationships we could end up in, and what battles and challenges. But ultimately, we're the ones who live. If we start showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now, and it's meaningful, even these last few days. You know, some people say, like, really, I'm gonna take this Kabbalah, and it's only gonna last a few days, and I'm gonna be in shul all day, Rosh Hashanah, but I never daven like that. I'm not gonna daven like that afterwards. First of all, you gotta start somewhere, you never know. Maybe that's the beginning. And if it really, sometimes things we do stick. If we put enough gedarim and enough koach, enough passion, and we think it through well. But even if not, doesn't mean it's not real. That's you showing the Rebbeinu Shalom who my best self is. So Hashem says, I'll give all the Shefa and help them throughout the year. Get back to that. So we have to be the ones to show that I'm going to live a life of Chaim. That I want to live a life of Chaim. I cherish life. I cherish every moment and I make it meaningful. So I don't spend my time on endeavors that are wastes of time. And there's so many out there. Especially in our day and age where, Shkoyach, you know, we lived in a generation where we all, for whatever amount of time, and everybody different, and some people, you know, went into this world of quarantine where we still had the world on our fingertips 24/7 if we wanted. So we could be in quarantine. So you'd think that should mean, okay, all that I have is family and Torah and Tefillah, like this should be nothing else. That's what might have been many years ago. In today's day and age, you still could be in Kol HaTaivas Tachas HaShemesh in your own room. So it didn't mean that I was living life in the way that maybe the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted us to. It's up to us, ultimately. Am I going to be Uvecharta B'chayim? What do you mean Becharta? Of course, Becharta B'chayim, choose life. Like, really? Choose life? No, I want death. Like, wahoo. It's a silly type of thing to say. Uvecharta B'chayim, choose life. Now we understand. Becharta B'chayim is not physical life. Choose a meaningful life, a purposeful life. And then Hashem will bless us with that. We confuse everything. You know, I once heard a mashal. I heard this from Ephraim Waxman years ago. He says, well, there was a woman, she was at a chasana, and she lost, mamish lost her diamond ring. Happens. At a very close Talmud. There's a reason I tell women this now. Again, there's different ways I'll tell you. At a very close Talmud, he once called me, mamish destroyed. His wife was, not going to mention which institution, but was in an institution. And she took off her ring to wash. And she washed her diamond ring, her engagement ring. It was a very expensive ring. And she went to wash and she realized, like, I don't remember what it was, maybe a half hour later. She ran back, never to see the ring again. Now, Baruch Hashem, they had insurance. It happens. That's why I always, you know, halachically, okay, a lot of women take off their rings when you wash. I'll just tell you, if you're nervous, especially when you're zoicha, shatayva in the right time, some already here, some in the right time, to have that ring. So you could also, by the way, you could also, as long as it's not tight, you know, so we wash two times, which is a chumrah. I'm not going to get into all the lachas. As long as you make sure that you use a nice amount each time that you wash, and use like a revius, a decent amount. So you wash, and then you move the ring over to another spot and wash the second time, and you're fine also. If you're nervous about that, just everyone should know. But okay, anyways. So this woman was at a wedding and lost her ring, and somehow it ended up in the garbage. It was thrown outside. This was a chesnish someplace out in maybe Eretz Yisrael somewhere, and some chicken came. There was a chicken pecking at the garbage. Because there was also leftover food in the garbage. And the chicken's pecking, you could imagine, pecking at the garbage. And the chicken pecks and picks up the diamond ring. And starts pecking at the diamond ring and spits it away. And then goes back in and finds like a little piece of farfel. Ah. And Mamish swallows it down and Mamish has the biggest simcha in the world. The diamond ring is $25,000. But to the chicken, that diamond ring is nothing. A piece of farfel? Ah, gewaldic, delicious. So we look at that and we think this chicken, Mamish, is a shaita, is a fool, doesn't know. Which, okay, it's a chicken. But how often do we do that? How often do we trade with our meaningful, purposeful, chiyasdika potential for meaningless, futile moments of life and being involved in whatever that might be? And we're not living a life of chayim, so why do we deserve a life of chayim? If we understood the value of life and a meaningful, purposeful, you know what the value of life, you want to hear, I'll tell you the value of life. And then you can make a meaningful life when you understand the value of life. There was a tzaddik, also a story in the time of the Chavetz Chaim. There was a tzaddik, Rav Naftali Trupp. He was known as the Garnet, Goyner of Naftali Trupp. And he was very, very sick, deathly sick. And his Talmidim decided they're going to go around to people, and specifically the tzaddikim, and ask them if they're willing to give over time of their life and give it to Rav Naftali to live longer. And that will be a schus for refuah. So they went to this tzaddik, he said, okay, I'll give a month to Rav Naftali. Rav Naftali to be in the world another month, the amount of mitzvahs and Torah, I'll give a month of my life. And this tzaddik, 2 weeks. And this tzaddik, 2 months. Whatever. They come to the Chavetz Chaim. They ask the Chavetz Chaim. Rav Naftali Trupp is very sick, he knew. Are you willing to dedicate time of your life to the Chavetz Chaim? I'm sorry, to Rav Naftali. That's the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim stops and he thinks about it. He's mamish. He's thinking about it. For a few minutes, he's thinking. He says, okay, I'll give to Rav Naftali. I'll give 1 minute. I'll give 1 minute of my life. So you can hear that and you think to yourself, one way, you think, really? The Chavetz Chaim is all you're going to give to another person? 1 minute? Tzaddik, 1 minute. But if we understood the way the Chavetz Chaim understood how precious life is and what a meaningful, purposeful life is and what you can do with time in this world, to him, 1 minute was mamish kodesh kedoshim. 1 minute was like the holiest thing in the world. 1 minute, there was once a cheshbon made that you could speak, if you speak quickly, 200 words in a minute. That's 200 words of Torah, 200 mitzvahs. Chaim said, I'll give 1 minute. We have to understand, Chaim, how precious life is. But realize life is not just physical life. When you realize how precious life is, I lead a meaningful, purposeful life, and that's how we zoicha to be chasveinu b'sefer Chaim, each and every one of us. We have to start living like this. Understand what we're here for. You know, this is what it means also. Now we can understand in a deeper sense of famous Torah. People say it by Sarah, but the truth is, if you look inside, it's by Avram as well. This is a very famous Torah. You know, the most famous Torah is always at the beginning of every parasha, right? There's a lot of Torah said on the beginning of the parasha. You don't get too far there sometimes. Sadly, we just don't have enough time. So the very first part, one of the most, a very famous Torah you all have learned. But now you could understand it in a new light, in light of this Torah from Rav Hirsch, of what Chias is from Yaakov. Vayu chayei Sarah. Mea shanav, esrim shanav, sheva shanim, shnei chayei Sarah. These were the years of Sarah, 127 years. Shnei chayei Sarah. And it repeats it. Shnei chayei Sarah. Why does it have to repeat it? So Rashi there famously said, kulon shavim latova. They were all good years. They were all beautiful years, wonderful years. But now you see it's that same word being repeated, chaye, chaye. To tell me, maybe it's the emphasis, now we understand what the kulon shavim latova meaning. Not just she sojourned 127 years. Not just she physically resided in this world 127 years. She lived them. Sarah lived them. She made the most of them. Every moment. Kulan, all of them. Shavin l'toiva. All of them. There's a famous medrash. Maybe some of you have learned this medrash as well. Now we understand that in a new light as well. There's a medrash on this pasuk. I think it's on the pasuk, but I've seen the medrash. Rabbi Akiva was once giving a shir. The great Rabbi Akiva. And what was going on in the shir was what I was speaking about before. A lot of his talmidim were dozing off. So, you know, as a Rebbe, you want to say something, do something to get them perked up. So he says over, you know, Sarah lived 127 years, and that's why, that's why Esther was Zoyche to rule over 127 countries. Oh, Shkoyach, that's wonderful. I'm sure the slumbering Talmud is gonna wake up. So tomorrow when I'm in shir with my seniors in DRS, and obviously no one ever falls asleep in shir, but if that would happen, I'm going to say over the Torah, I'm sure it's going to work. Somehow I don't think it's going to do it, if you know what I'm saying. It's hard these days, because it used to be, you know, you could give a guy a little push if he falls asleep. Right now, because of everything, you're not allowed to touch anybody. You know, so you got to give it like a little kick to the desk on the bottom, you know. But all right, Baruch Hashem. What was that? Why was that waking someone up? You know why I was waking someone up? He was reminding, what was the schus of our 127 years? The schus was kul and shavim l'toiva. The schus wasn't just she lived 127 years, that was up to God. That she lived meaningful years. She lived the years. She made the most of those years. So he's telling his slumbering talmidim, what are you guys doing here? You're wasting your life, you're wasting your time. Live a life of chayim. And by the way, you see the same. Everybody says this Rashi. I don't know why the Rashi doesn't pick up on it, or doesn't. I'm sure Rashi picked up on it, but doesn't give it over to us by Avram, because you find the same repetitive nature by Avram, which the Malbim picks up on. Later in the pasuk, it's in the same parsha when Avram passes away. Perachafei pasuk Zayin ve'elu yimei shnei chaye Avram asher chay. These are the years of Avram that he lived. Ma'ashana v'shivim shana v'chamei shana. 175 years. Those words, Asher Chai, Be'elo Yimei Shnei Chai Avram, Asher Chai. Asher Chai is completely redundant and unnecessary. These are the years of Avram, 175 years. What do you mean, Asher Chai, that he lived? You know what it means? It's not just that he sojourned, he lived. He made the most of them. Are we making the most of our time? If we want Sifrei Chaim, if I want this year to be a year of meaning, of purpose, of simcha, of bracha, of excitement, of enjoyment, the way we all want, which Chaim encompasses all of that we're explaining. We have to start living that way. Let's live a life of Chaim. And let's show Hashem during these days. Show Hashem during these days. That's who we're going to be. That's who we are. That's our essence. That's why it is. We know there's halacha. It's halacha. It's brought down in the Ramah. That on Rosh Hashanah, you're not supposed to take a nap. Right? We've learned that before. What's the idea behind that? The idea behind that is don't waste a moment. It's such a precious day. You're going to really go take a nap? You know, we've all heard that idea. It'll be a sleepy year. I don't know exactly what that means. But what I do know is how can one even think about taking a nap on Rosh Hashanah? For these days at least, there's not something to learn, something to daven, some way to do a chesed, help with a younger sibling, something. On these days, we're really going to just take a nap? Now, don't get me wrong, if you're so exhausted and if you don't nap, you're not going to be able to daven well, whatever it might be, but stomach, you could. But ultimately, just to take a nap, which like some people do, just to sleep away the day, because there's nothing else to do. We've already played 6 board games, like, really? On Rosh Hashanah? If you have to take a nap, it means I don't even know what Chaim is. So how are you going to be zoiche to it? If that's what I'm doing, I don't even know what it is. But so Hashem, we know what Chaim is. We know what it is to have meaningful time and meaningful lives. Because we often get confused what brings us Chaim. I also heard from Ephraim Waxman. He said over that he was at a chasna with a Rav. And the minhag is, I'm not going to get into it now, some of this might be strange, but you know the minhag is to make l'chaims. We make l'chaims at a chasana. What do you make a l'chaim on? A little whiskey, liquor. an alcoholic beverage. And this Rav, he pours a little bit of water, and he makes a l'chaim. And I don't know if it was wax or someone else turned to him and says, that's what you make a l'chaim on. You know, this is a chesnes, Johnny Walker Blue over here. It's good stuff. You get a little water, you're going to make a l'chaim. That's what you make a l'chaim on. He says, I was on a cattle car to Auschwitz for 3 days straight. My lips were so parched. I was so thirsty, you don't even know what thirsty is. I thought I was going to die. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me life and allowed me to live. And when I tasted water for that first time, I knew what chayim is. So yeah. I say l'chayim on water. I say l'chayim on water. And you know, some people, they think life is about fun and games and making l'chaim on alcoholic beverages. In Mayim El Torah, the Mayim of our life is what's meaningful, what's purposeful, what really gives us chaim. We want to say l'chaim. So if I want to daven for l'chaim, I want to daven because v'einu b'sefer chaim. We all want this so badly. We want a whole new world. We want a whole new year for us, for our families. We want chasveinu b'sefer achayim. L'man chalukim chayim. So let's start living a life of chayim. Let's start showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't mean, chazon, don't mean I can't have a good time and hang out with my friends and my family. Of course, we all can. That's part of chayim also. Part of chiyus is to enjoy the world that Hashem has given us. He's given us friends, and He's given us families, and He's given us a world of materialistic values to also enjoy it, but enjoy it in the proper way, and understand what is the ikkar, what is the tuffle, what's most important, what's just to enjoy a little bit of, and for some downtime, which we all need. But where's my heart and soul? I'm living a life of chayim. That was the bracha of Kornmel was giving my son. My brother. Rav Kornmel was giving my brother a bracha to live a life of chayim. Rav Kornmel was saying, Moshe Meir, b'chasveinu b'sefer chayim. Not just physical life. That's the type of life you should live. And that's what we're davening for. If we want to be zoichi, let's start living it. Let's start living it and show the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's who I'm going to be. That's who I want to be. And Mir Tzishem, that's chas, each and every one of us. Each and every one of you should be zoicheh to chsiv chsiv metayva, a good gebench jar, a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of gezunt, a year of clarity. Ein simcha kastara sveikos. And Makayin, give you bracha. Yivrecha, Adonai vishmerecha, yar nai panav elecha vichuneka, yisa nai panav elecha vesem lecha shalom. Should be zoicheh to be written in the sefer achayim. Immediately, nechta v'nechtam. In chay, now you know what chayim is. Into that sefer. The schus of this shir, just earlier today, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a vatana. If you take the gematria of sefer chayim is 408. Sefer chayim is exactly gematria, ko yiya simcha. So will be simcha. We speak all the time, and I believe it from the depth of my heart, what we want more than anything else is simcha. So you want to know how to get to simcha? To be written in Sefer Chaim. If we start living a life of Chaim, we'll be written in Sefer Chaim. And Ko Yiyah Simcha, so will be Simcha. We'll be Zoyechet to all the Simcha in the world, all the Brach in the world. For us, full of Klal Yisrael, we'll see Tav Shem Pei. It's going to be a year only of tremendous, tremendous Geula, Refuah, Yeshua, and Simcha, Gugu Ben Shior, a sweet year of Simcha and Bracha to everybody.